The latest astronomy news for February 2008 is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, visit jodcast.net.
In the news this month, huge gas cloud on a collision course with the Milky Way, Messenger takes the first close-ups of Mercury in more than 30 years, and thin galaxies harbour big secrets. A giant cloud of gas is heading straight for a collision with the Milky Way, announced a group of astronomers at the 211th meeting of the American Astronomical Society in January. The cloud, known as Smith's Cloud, after the astronomer who discovered it in 1963, is made mainly of hydrogen gas, enough to make about 1 million sun-like stars. It is 11,000 light-years long, 2,500 light-years wide, and only 8,000 light-years from the disk of our galaxy. Previous observations of the cloud did not show whether it was travelling towards the galaxy, or whether it was a cloud of gas being blown out of the disk. Now, observations using the Green Bank Telescope in America show that it is moving rapidly towards our galaxy at more than 240 kilometers per second, at an angle of about 45 degrees. On the sky, Smith's Cloud is about 15 degrees long, about 30 times the width of the full moon, but contains no stars and is not visible in ordinary light. The sensitive observations required 40,000 individual pointings of the 100-meter telescope to cover the entire cloud. Felix Lockman, who led the team, suggests that the most likely explanation for the cloud is that it is either something left over from the formation of the Milky Way, or gas stripped from a neighbouring galaxy. There is evidence that the outer edges of the cloud are already starting to interact with the Milky Way, but when the core of the cloud hits the disk of the galaxy in about 40 million years, it could trigger a huge burst of star formation. NASA's spacecraft Messenger passed planet Mercury at a distance of just 200 kilometres during January. The flyby took place on the 14th of January, and was the first of three to be made by the probe as it prepares to enter into orbit around the solar system's smallest planet in 2011. It is now halfway through what will be a 7-year tour of the inner solar system. The last spacecraft to view Mercury up close was Mariner 10 in 1975. The flyby was designed to obtain the first detailed view of the hemisphere of the planet that was not seen by Mariner 10, make the first measurements of the elemental composition of Mercury's surface, use a laser altimeter to study the shape and topography of the planet, and take gravity measurements to try and improve the current understanding of Mercury's internal structure. All of the electronics and observational instruments are protected behind a shield that allows them to operate at room temperature despite the extremely harsh environment. During the flyby, these instruments were expected to gather data over a period of 55 hours, collecting over 1,000 images of the planet. It is well known that galaxies come in many shapes and sizes. Our galaxy is a flat spiral with a reasonably large central bulge, at the centre of which sits a supermassive black hole. At the moment, this black hole is quiet, but some black holes in other galaxies are much more active, devouring gas and stars at a huge rate. These black holes are many millions of times more massive than our Sun, and usually weigh about 0.2% of the mass within the bulge of their host galaxy. Astronomers reason that the formation and growth of a black hole and the surrounding bulge are connected because of this link. Now, using data from the Spitzer Space Telescope, a team of astronomers has found evidence for black holes in an unlikely place, the core of a thin, almost bulgeless galaxy. A spectrum of the flat spiral galaxy NGC 3621 in the constellation of Hydra shows the presence of highly ionized neon, a signature of the large amounts of energy present around a black hole. The results challenge current theories, which hold that supermassive black holes require the large central bulges that poke out from many spiral galaxies to form and grow. NGC 3621 is the second disk galaxy without any bulge found to harbour a supermassive black hole. The first, found in 2003, is NGC 4395. Astronomers have also used Spitzer to find six other large black holes in thin spirals, with only minimal bulges. Together, these findings indicate that, for a galaxy, having a large bulge is not a necessary condition for growing a supermassive black hole. And finally, in November, the UK's Science and Technology Facilities Council, or SDFC, announced the decision to withdraw from funding the International Gemini Project, two 8-metre optical and infrared telescopes situated in Chile and Hawaii. A proposal was put forward to the Gemini Board, which would reduce the funding provided by SDFC, but still allow UK astronomers access to Gemini North on Hawaii, retaining access to the only such large facility in the Northern Hemisphere available to the UK astronomical community. This proposal was rejected by the Board of Gemini, resulting in the withdrawal of the UK from the collaboration entirely. This turned out to be part of a much bigger issue. Despite an overall budget increase over the next few years, increased costs for the UK subscriptions to projects such as the European Space Agency ESO and the Particle Physics Laboratory CERN, combined with overall increased outgoings, have left STFC with a budget shortfall of £80 million over the next 3 years. STFC not only takes care of subscriptions to major research facilities, but funds a large proportion of the research undertaken at university physics departments across the country. As well as pulling out of Gemini, in order to save enough to cover the shortfall, STFC will also reduce grants to physics departments by 25% and reduce staff at several large research facilities around the country. Recently, John Denham, Secretary of State for the Department of Innovation, Universities and Skills, has initiated a review of the state of physics in the UK, which will look into physics funding as well as other issues. The review, led by Professor Bill Wakeham, Vice-Chancellor of the University of Southampton, will report towards the end of 2008, but is unlikely to have any impact on the current problem.